Amen. Tonight we're going to be in Matthew chapter 15. I'd like to say something very quickly before we read the text. Yesterday, whenever I invited the young people up here to sing, Nathan, he refused to come up. He in front of everybody, I don't know if you guys noticed it, he said no. And I was quite surprised because, I've known Nathan all of his life, and I've never known him to be the rebellious type. And so I was really surprised. But he had a good reason not to come up. And so if you're looking at him and judging him and saying, oh, what a bad disobedient child, he was justified in not coming up. His mom had told him not to stand up, to sit down, and to stay seated. So, no, I'm absolutely serious. So yes, he's not rebellious. And, I'm trying to clarify your name, Nate, all right? So don't be embarrassed. All right. Matthew chapter 15, and we're going to be reading starting at verse 32. Then Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitude, because they continue with me now 3 days, and have nothing to eat, and I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way. And his disciples say unto him, whence should we have so much bread in the wilderness as to fill so great a multitude? And Jesus saith unto them, how many loaves have ye? And they said, 7 and a few little fishes. And he commanded the multitudes to sit down on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves and the fishes, and gave thanks, and brake them, and gave to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat, and were filled, and they took up the broken meat that was left, 7 baskets full. And they did eat, and they that did eat were 4,000 men, beside women and children. And he sent away the multitude, and took ship, and came into the coast of Magdala. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace, and we thank you for your mercy, and we thank you for the love that you've shown in our lives. We thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the word that you've given us so far. I ask, Lord, that you'll pour out your spirit and touch our hearts tonight. Lord, I realize and I see who I'm preaching to. Lord, I pray that you'll touch all of our hearts. Lord, move us. Draw us closer to you. Help us, Lord, to see you as you are. You are altogether lovely, and you are precious in our sight. Lord, I pray that you'll give me a freedom and ease to speak tonight. My prayer tonight is that you will not allow me to say anything more than you would have me to say, nor anything less. Give me the grace to speak with kindness and with grace and with mercy and with understanding. Prepare our hearts to receive your word. And above everything else, I ask that you be glorified and honored and exalted very highly, because you're worthy. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You guys realize that in chapter 14, basically the same story had just taken place, right? With a few minor differences. In chapter 14, Jesus had fed a crowd of 5,000, and it says that whenever it drew towards evening, Jesus realized that they were hungry, and so then he made this huge miracle. He fed 5,000 men, women, and children with just a few pieces of bread and a few little small fish. And the point is, of these two stories, is that following Jesus Christ requires faithfulness. Following Jesus Christ requires determination, and it requires purpose of heart. You know, following Jesus Christ is not always easy. There's this new philosophy and this new idea, this new doctrine, that if you come to Jesus Christ, all of your financial problems will disappear. That's not the Christ that I find in the gospel. There are people that say, come and follow Jesus Christ and you will always be happy. That's not the gospel that I find in the Bible. That is not the Jesus Christ that is presented in the gospel. The truth of the matter is that whenever you follow Jesus Christ, a lot of times your physical life is going to get a whole lot worse than it was before. You know, Apostle Paul, he was doing pretty well before he got saved. After Jesus Christ met him, I tell you what, Jesus Christ ruined his life physically. That guy was a pretty messed up guy. Remember reading his story in 2 Corinthians? Where he's like, man, you guys want to boast of things that I've gone through? Woo-hoo-hoo! Man, Jesus Christ will mess your life up if you follow him. You know, if you can overlook that minor detail, he promised eternity, but he didn't promise you pink flowers and roses, cupcakes. Man, I'm getting distracted. Stop it, guys, stop it. He didn't promise you an easy road, but he promised you to get you across. He didn't promise you a gentle road, an easy and good weather all the way. But he did say, if you follow me, I'll meet you on the other side. And he's already there waiting. And he's calling out to his disciples and he says, follow me. And I want to continue this topic today because it's an important topic. It's not. I didn't have enough time yesterday to finish last night. I want to continue the topic of follow me. Whenever you decide to follow Jesus Christ, eventually you're going to have to endure hard times.
Yeah, that's right. Amen.
Look at this crowd, 5,000, 4,000 men besides women and children. I don't know how many that is. It's a lot. They're following for 3 days without food, without drink, following this man who's teaching the Word of God. Now, maybe for us guys, that's no big deal. But I guarantee you, every woman in that crowd is concerned about their children. I know when my wife leaves for the evening, and she says, well, I got to prepare my things for the kids. And she takes this huge bag. She's just leaving for the evening because her kids have to be fed. They have to have something to drink. They have to have a change of clothes. And here we are 3 days into the desert without food and without drink. If you decide to follow Jesus Christ, sooner or later, you will have to endure hardness. Paul said to Timothy, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. If you don't learn this lesson, this vital lesson that following Jesus Christ requires you to be hard and have a spine, you won't be able to follow him long. Following Jesus Christ, sooner or later, will require you to face reality, that it's not easy. How many people do you know? I mean, I'm looking around and I see a lot of empty chairs. How many people do you know that said, well, I tried church and it just didn't work?
Yeah.
How many people were here, they gave it a shot? My question is, how long did you try? How long did you give it a try? Well, I came out to church for a year. And then you just quit? And then you gave up? How long? You see, Jesus Christ led that huge crowd into the wilderness. They didn't know when they would be fed. They didn't know how long they would have to endure. But they concluded and they had understood something that I hope we as a church, as an assembly, can understand. That it's worth following Jesus Christ regardless of the cost, regardless of the price, regardless of the difficulty. Whenever you decide to follow Jesus Christ, you'll realize, you'll understand sooner or later that there are some things that you're just going to have to give up. You're going to have to sooner or later give up your comfort. Foxes have holes. The Son of Man doesn't have a place to lay down his head. I know that we as Americans are creatures of comfort.
That's right.
Talk about whatever you want, but don't talk about my comfort. I deserve to be comfortable. Not if you want to follow Jesus Christ. The question that each and every one of us as individuals have to answer is, what price are we willing to pay to be able to follow Jesus Christ through and through to the end? How far are you willing to go? How much of your Lord is He? When you say Lord, what exactly do you mean? Are you saying that you're a reservist and you can give Him one weekend? Are you saying that you'll be available for every weekend of the month? What do you mean whenever you say that He's your Lord? Whenever Mary turned around and she saw Him and she said, Rabboni, Master, what exactly was she saying? You're my master today, but forget about tomorrow because it's Monday and I got my work. If you want to follow Jesus Christ, you will have to endure hardness. You will have to be ready to give up on some things.
Yes.
Hold your places here. Look at Psalm 45. Verse 10. Beautiful, beautiful psalm. The first 10 verses are describing our Lord Jesus Christ. The first verse says, the second verse, thou art fairer than the children of men. That's beautiful. Never will you lay your eyes on a more beautiful person than the person of Jesus Christ. He is altogether lovely. But anyways, verse 10, speaking of the church, speaking of you, he says, hearken, O daughter, and consider and incline thine ear. Forget also thine own people and thy father's house. You know, if you decide to follow Jesus Christ, you're going to have to forget about your people. You're going to have to forget that you are an American. You're going to have to give up on this notion that you have rights. Because the Bible says that if you're His, you are bought with a price. You have no rights. You're His property. You belong to Him. He went out and He weighed your price and He says, I'm going to pay that price because I want Him to be mine. So forget about your rights. The Bible says, if you want to follow Jesus Christ, you're going to have to forget about your father's house. Oh, he that hateth not his father or his mother, his husband or his wife, even his own self, and follow me, and take up his cross and follow me, is not worthy of me. If you decide, if you're thinking, if you're pondering the idea of, you know what, I'm going to dedicate my life to serving Jesus Christ, there's some things that you're going to have to give up on. It will be worth it all. But you will have to make this decision. If you decide to follow Jesus Christ, you are going to have to sooner or later face the reality and face the temptation of quitting. He says, I have compassion on the people lest they faint along the way. Some people, they're gone and they just say, I can't take it anymore. I cannot go on. And it's precisely in these moments that the accuser of the brethren comes and he says, just turn around and go home.
Amen.
Just give up. It's not worth it. Just go home. Try again some other time. There's no shame in quitting. Oh, each and every one of us that's been walking with the Lord, that's been following Him, knows exactly what I'm talking about. It happens to every Christian. It happens to every child of God. Each and every one of us has this moment in our lives when we say, is it worth it? Am I really all in? I mean, am I really this dedicated? Do I really want to serve? Is it that important to me? You know, I'm sure you catch yourself thinking this way. Well, if I didn't follow Christ, or if I didn't do this, if I wasn't preaching, if I didn't go out, help the ladies tracking, if I didn't go door knocking, well, maybe I could do this or do that. You know, if I didn't go to church on Wednesday night, you know, I could get that advance. You know, if I didn't go to church on Sunday, every Sunday, wow, I'd get that promotion. Maybe I can just quit. Every one of us, I'm sure, has come to this point in our lives where we say, I can't take any more. I've been pushed as far as I can. But you know what? In reality, it's just like riding your bicycle. You know that stationary bike? You're on it and you say, I'm gonna ride it for 15 miles, for 20 miles. After about 3, you know what your body tells you? You can't do it anymore. Come on, man. 15 miles? That's too much. You were too... Thank you. You were too... You know the feeling. You're too ambitious. Just do 5, you know. A lot of people give up. A lot of people at this moment quit. A lot of people say, you know what, it's right, I can't do it. They give up, and then they never finish. But there are some people that know that if you just continue pedaling away, don't give up, sooner or later something in your body explodes and all of a sudden you can go 25, 30, 40, 50 miles and it's like, wow, where did this come from? What happened? You didn't give up. You didn't quit. The Bible says, oh, let's read it. Let's read it. I prefer reading it. I want you to see it. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. You know the verse, verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. Whatever comes your way in following Jesus Christ, whatever you're confronted with in the pathway following Jesus Christ, whatever's there, whatever difficulty, whatever mountain, whatever giant standing opposite you, God says, it's not too hard. Every time, what does he say? With the temptation will also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. There is always a way to victory. It's not always the way that you might choose. It's not always the way that you might have expected. But there is always a way to escape with that will allow you to have your head high in service of your King. Some people quit, and that's an escape. But that's shame.
Amen.
There is always a way for you to overcome. The Bible says in 1 John that faith is the victory. Amen. And if you just trust this simple promise that God is faithful, amen, you will have that victory. Amen. Every one of us will have to face the danger of quitting. Matthew 15 tells us that they were out in a desert place. And if you follow the Lord long enough, sooner or later, you're going to find yourself in a desert place. Now, nobody likes to be in the desert. I mean, come on, guys. I've heard since I've been here, we're having a dry spell. Isn't it true? How do you guys enjoy that dry spell? Who likes to be in the desert? But the truth of the matter is that even Christ, whenever he was walking, he went up to a place, went up to a tree, expecting something, and he didn't get what he was wanting. He went up to the fig tree, and it was barren. It's not always fruitful. Whenever you follow Jesus Christ long enough, you will have times whenever you're praying and you're like, man, that sure was a dead, dry prayer. There'll be times that you come to church and it's like doing hard time. Like, what, Lord, did I do? There'll be times whenever you read your Bible and you're in Chronicles, and the only person that enjoys Chronicles is Steve. And he found Chronicles, third Chronicles, you know? It's not there, but he found it. You'll be reading and it's dry. There's no fruit. There's no satisfaction. There's no, your thirst is never quenched. There are times that we come and we sing these songs, the songs that we just got through singing, and they're just like, eh. You see, because even Jesus Christ himself goes through the desert. He led you there. It's not, you didn't get there by chance and by accident. It's not that you got lost. How many times did you think, oh Lord, I've sinned, you know, God forgive me, something must be wrong. But did you know that sometimes the Lord directly leads your path into the desert?
Amen.
What happens when it rains all the time? Ask Noah. You want rain all of the time? Thank God that He's leading us. Thank God that He's our captain. And He's our pastor. Because He's tread the way before us. And He knows the way. And He says, yes, this is the right way. Yes, I'm not lost. Follow me. Follow me. Lord, lead us not into temptation. But even Abraham, our father, the father of faith, was tempted and tried. You see, if you follow the Lord long enough, you'll have times of a drought in your life. A wise man taught me, never change your mind in the gray. When you set sail and you have fair weather and you know where you're going, don't change course whenever you're in the middle of a storm. Before you got into that drought, before you got into that desert, you knew where you were going. Trust the Lord at all times. Trust Him. Yes, 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 yes. The seasons that you can reap the fruit and the benefit, and you can see this Lord pouring out His Spirit. But trust Him even more, whenever you're in the middle of a desert. Because He is not the God only of the mountain. He is the God of the valley. He is not the God of spring only. He is especially the God of winter and of summer. He will lead you out of it. What does the Lord say? What does Paul say? Be instant, in season and out of season. Oh, yeah. Who isn't instant in season? Who isn't ready to do the work, you know, whenever it's down in Mexico and half the city's being revived and half the city's being saved? You know, when the church is 500 people big or 100 people big or 80 people. Who isn't ready to serve the Lord there? If you're willing to follow Jesus Christ here, even though you never see a soul saved. Are you willing to follow Him, even though your parents never believe? Are you willing to follow Him whenever you see that dry spell and it tarries and it's long and you say the summer's past and we are not saved or we are not saved? Are you ready to serve Him then? Or are you like the many that turn back and are not fit for the kingdom of God? It's a question that each and every one of us has to answer for himself. Which preacher wouldn't like to be able to say, yes, 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 we as a church, we're going to answer this question. Well, that's great. That's wonderful. But unfortunately, that's not the way that the Bible handles business. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this is the judgment. And we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Each and every one of us has to give account to the Lord individually, regardless of what the pastor says, regardless of what the spouse says, regardless of what the nation says. Every individual has to stand. So you, my friend, you, my brother and sister, have to answer this question. Are you following Christ? Will you follow Christ even into the desert? Man, I hate this point. I wish I could avoid it. I wish it weren't true. But unfortunately, it is true. If you follow Christ long enough, sooner or later, you're going to have to deal with Christians that are willing and ready to discourage you. Oh, my goodness. This is heartbreaking. Matthew 14. Lord, what was their prayer? What did Peter pray? What did Paul, what did John pray? What did James pray? What did Philip pray? Lord, send them away. Oh my God, have mercy. Send them away? Why on earth would you send them away from Christ? Sooner or later, if you follow Christ long enough, you yourself will come across a Christian that'll tell you, what are you doing? What makes you so special? What is your beloved more than mine? You know, unfortunately, when Christ saves us, He doesn't make us perfect. Oh, how I wish He did. You know, if I were God, that's what I would have done. Oh well. God knows what He's doing.
Amen.
He knows better. Will you be faithful? Will you be willing to follow? Even whenever the Spirit is touching your heart, is moving you, is pressing upon you to preach, to serve, to live for Him, and the brethren are discouraging you. What did Job said? Ye are miserable comforters. Miserable comforters are ye all. Will you serve Christ? Even whenever the saints who are supposed to love you with unfeigned love are miserable comforters. That's some hard stuff, guys. I wish it weren't so. But the truth is that oftentimes the most discouraging people are Christians.
That's right. Amen.
You know. If you follow Christ long enough, you're going to have to deal with this problem. If you follow Christ long enough, you're going to have to wind up doing things that you don't necessarily enjoy doing. Matthew 14. Jesus sees the multitude and He has compassion on them. Tell them to sit down. Okay. Sit down in 50s and 100s. Okay, Peter, John, James, Bartholomew, Philip, Nathaniel. All right, start serving food. Lord, where's Mary at? Where's Martha? Martha! No, He told the apostles. It seems, whenever I read the scripture of the gospel, it seems like it happens day after day, but I know it's not true, but, you know, just imagine with me the next day, going through the desert, no food, no water. Second day, no food, no water. Third day, no food, no water. Towards the evening, Jesus finally stops and turns around and He says to His disciples, I have compassion on the people. And Peter says, oh God, not again. Not again. You're having compassion on Him. That means more work. That means again we're going to have to be doing the same thing that we did 3 days ago.
It's true.
Serving the Lord It's not always fun.
That's right.
Serving the Lord, it's not always cool.
I can't help but think
of this situation where God Almighty, inside of this veil that we call a body, and these stupid men say, "Who are you?" And God, I mean, I'm sure He would like to take him behind the shed and just give him a good whooping, you know. But He said that He wouldn't quench a smoking flax. He wouldn't put it out. He wouldn't break a bruised reed. And so He tolerates it. He takes it. He bears it. And He appears weak among men. You know, sometimes being a Christian, following Christ, you appear, guys, men. Sometimes following Christ, you appear before men as weak, as soft. You're just a Christian. You don't know how to fight. Be a man. My grandpa used to tell my dad, "Be a man." Sometimes being following Christ, it's not easy for a man. You have to control yourself. You have to say no. You have to give way to vengeance, to anger. Because the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. It's not always easy. It's not always fun. It's not always cool to serve God. Sometimes you have to do things that you don't want to do. If you follow Christ long enough, you'll find that it's a hard task. No, it's not an easy road. No, it's not an easy road. But my Savior will carry me there. He'll take me. He'll lead me. He'll get me there. But, tell you what, guys, if you follow Christ long enough, your problems will become Christ's priority. There they were, following Him. First day, second day, it's a problem. They're in the desert. They're dehydrated. They're hungry. They're fainting. After 3 days, Christ says, okay, I'm going to do something about this. Yes, He sees the problem. Yes, He sees you toiling in middle of the sea. Yes, He sees that you're worried. Yes, He sees you're afraid. Yes, He sees that you're wearied. And sooner or later, if you follow Him, if you stay the course, if you don't give up, if you don't turn back, if you're not like Lot's wife who looks back, if you just stay the course, keep your focus, keep your eyes on Christ, sooner or later, your problem will become His priority.
Amen.
What a blessing it is whenever Jesus Christ comes to the rescue. Oh, anybody who's been there, who's experienced it, knows it's true. Look back in your own experience. Have you been there? Have you been so overcome, so burdened, so troubled, so wearied by the problems, by the persecution, by whatever it might be, and Christ shows up? Oh, what a relief. What peace. Jesus says, He promised, "Peace, my peace I leave with you. Not as the world giveth peace, so I give you." His peace is remaining, even in times of trouble. After 3 days, He says, "I care for you." Casting all your burdens upon Him. Why? Because He cares for you. If you follow Him long enough. That's what I was trying to say before about the people that come to church and they say, "I tried church. Oh my goodness. But if you just stay the course, if you don't give up, kind of like Thomas, you know, why was he gone? Why was he absent? Who knows? The fact is he gave up for that day, for that moment, for that season. And he missed the opportunity. All of the other apostles, all of the other disciples who stayed the course, what joy and what gladness. We've seen the Lord. Maybe you're weak in faith today and you're like, you know what? It's just not worth it. Look around you. Please look around you at the witnesses. Look at the examples around you of people who've stayed the course and have proven in their own lives that God is faithful. Amen. Your problems become His priority. Sooner or later, you stay the course and you follow Christ, His compassion will carry you through. Amen. You know, I grew up in a church. I grew up in a Christian family. I was forced to go to church. I wish I didn't have to say that, but that's the truth. Whenever I was on a basketball team and the tournament was on Sunday, I didn't want to be in church. I was dragged to church by my parents. I didn't want to go. Oh well, c'est la vie. It wasn't always, again, it wasn't always pleasant. It wasn't the joy of my life. Ooh, let's go to church. I remember in Mexico, in the parque, we loved meeting in the parks because when it was raining, woohoo, no church. Just a quick prayer. That's the truth. That's my testimony. If you follow Christ, sooner or later, long enough, sooner or later, His compassion will carry you individually through. You see, now I've come to know the Lord, and I understand that He doesn't just love my mom and my dad. He doesn't love their faith only, but He loves me. And I'm constantly reminded of John chapter 4, where that Samaritan woman, she goes into the city and she convinces everybody, it appears, she convinces everybody, I found the Messiah, I found the Messiah, come and see. And they come and they see because of her and they all believe, yes, yes, yes. But then they hear Him themselves. And they say, oh, now we believe, not because of you, but because we've heard Him ourselves. His compassion will carry you through. You'll start to pray and you'll start to read God's word and you'll be convinced that you are God's only child. You'll be convinced that God is talking to you. And my God, what a blessing it is whenever you're talking to Christ and you know that He's speaking directly to you. My goodness, there's no greater blessing. There's no greater joy than to know that God is listening to you. His compassion is poured out in your life. His compassion is there available for you specifically. Follow Him long enough and you'll personally reap the benefits. You'll personally find out that there is no one like Him. You'll come to know Him. You'll come to understand that every day you live with Him, He grows sweeter by the day. When you think that He's been as good as anybody, anything can ever be, you'll live one more day and you'll say, my goodness, He's better than I thought the day before. Amen. You'll find out, like Lamentations says, Lamentations 3, He says, new every day. Thy mercy. I have that same problem, you know. It's something loving kindness. Lamentations chapter 3. I'm opening it very quick. Yes, His mercies are new every day. Remembering mine own affliction and my misery and the wormwood and the gall, my soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. This I recall to mind, therefore I have hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions, they fail not. They are new every morning. Amen. Great is thy faithfulness. you'll find that His mercy and His grace and His compassion is new every single day, every single morning. Follow Him through. Stay the course. Fix your heart upon Him. You'll find Him true. You'll find Him to be a true friend. Sooner or later, your fasting will turn to a filling. Yes, they were led out into the desert. Yes, and they fasted for 3 days. But you know what? After 3 days, it says that they all ate and there was some left over. Paul says, I have all and abound. I am full. Amen. That same Paul that spent the night and the day in the sea, that same Paul that was in prison, that same Paul that said, I have learned how to abound and how to have need. That same Paul that was persecuted like no other Christian before, he said, I am full. Why? Because Jesus cares. Because Jesus Christ is the great good shepherd.
Yes. Amen.
He is a good shepherd. He's not a hireling. He bought you with His own blood. And He cares for you. And He will not have His sheep starving. Sooner or later, if you follow Him long enough, you'll find that He's faithful to keep you from falling. He says, and again, I just repeat. He says, I have compassion on the people, lest they faint in the way. Each and every day, we are in danger of falling. It's just our nature. There is no good thing in us. Despite God's incredible, amazing grace and love, our wicked hearts are still wicked. Our hearts are still as deceitful as they were before we met Christ. And your heart will trick you as soon as it can. But if you follow Him long enough, you'll find out that Christ will keep you from falling.
Amen.
He's faithful to see you through.
Amen.
Now, let me ask you this. What about you? We know the stories. We know the experiences. We know the Gospels. Why were they written? Why did God give us these examples? Were they written for their own sakes? And remember, Paul made the statement, does God care for ox? I mean, is it just a story in the past? Aren't these things written for our sakes too?
Amen.
Where are you at today? Maybe you've trusted the Lord and you followed Him for the 3 days. Maybe it's into the evening in your life. And you're really, really hungry. Maybe you've just started out. Maybe it's just the first day. Maybe Jesus Christ is new in your life. And you're experiencing the shock and the awe and the surprise of, wow, it's not a soft road. You know, He's leading us through the desert. You know, it's really hot out here. Where are you at personally? Are you at the point where you're going to say, it's a long, tough road. It's not worth it. Are you like obstinate in the Pilgrim's Progress? Well, if we have this many problems just at the set, at the beginning of our road, what problems can we expect further down the road? And you turn around. Where are you at? If I could just get this one point across this week. Follow Christ. He will be true and He will be faithful to carry you through whatever comes your way. Follow Christ. He's worthy to be followed. He deserves to be followed. Amen.